My name is Michael Rodriguez. I'm here today. Today is March 31st, 2006. Here to interview Paul Clemens for the Michigan Writers Series. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, we usually talk about Michigan. That's usually the first question I ask because it's the Michigan Writers Series.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, the book is obviously uses Detroit as its vehicle, or at least one of the vehicles. Mm-hmm. So it's almost an obvious question. I mean, I could ask something like, could this happen? Could a story like this happen anywhere? Or is this specific to Detroit? But I suppose the answer would be, well,
yes.
I'll ask the question.
The answer is yes. Yeah, it's specific to Detroit, ergo the title. Yeah, I mean, for the Michigan Writers Series, I thought about that on the drive up. And, you know, I really don't consider myself a Michigan writer. I mean, I've never been to the Upper Peninsula.
Really?
Really. You know, I know Detroit very well, but I really only know part of Detroit very well, the northeast corner I grew up in and the east side in general. But yeah, I really don't know much about the state of Michigan. Yeah. And I've always really thought that there was Detroit and then the rest of the state, you know, sort of the way people in New York say there's New York City and then there's the rest of the state of New York. Yeah. I mean, there's Detroit and then there's the rest of Michigan. And
people from Grand Rapids might argue, but...
Yeah, sure. Orleans, no, and I've spent a number of years in Grand Rapids, which is the other place I know. Yeah. But you know, those are the two biggest cities in Michigan. Yeah. But once I go up north, and again, I've never been to the UP. You know, it might as well be a different country.
So it's, I mean, it's Detroit proper, and not Michigan that is a source of identity.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in the way people are New Yorkers, or they're from Philadelphia, or what have you. I'm from Detroit. I mean, there's a you know, sort of a big city identification that comes from growing up in a place.
And Detroit's a special place, too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, your question was, could this story have happened elsewhere? I mean, sure. I mean, in the broad sense, I suppose, yes. But the details are specific to Detroit.
Yeah. I was mainly just going to talk about literature in terms of, I mean, the question that you must get asked now, especially after James Fry, and what is the idea of memoir? And, I'll ask that question. What is memoir?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a theorist I'm not a literary theorist. It's not a question, really, that I pondered all that much as I was writing the book. And honestly, it's not a question I've really pondered all that much after. I mean, what is it? It's a story drawn from life, I guess, is the simplest definition of what a memoir is. And I didn't set out to be a memoirist. I set out to write a story. I knew I wanted to write about Detroit.
Yeah.
The question was, how would I do that? And for a number of years, and I talk about this in the book, trying to write a story about Detroit, and you begin trying to write short stories, and then you try to make that into a novel, and you know, it just never worked. And an acquaintance of mine who's in publishing, who's in the book business, he's an illustrator, children's book illustrator, I met with him once, and he said, "Do you write?" And I said, "Yes." And I sent him a draft of a novel I was working on, and he said, "Well, you know, it's not bad." But as I drove him around Detroit, him and his wife—he was originally born there. He said, "You know, his wife wasn't from the city," and he said, "Well, tell us some stories about growing up in Detroit." So I did, and after I sent him the pages of the novel, he said, "You know, it's not bad. You can turn a phrase." But he said, "You know, this doesn't really have the immediacy of those stories you were telling us as you drove us around. Why not try to put those down on paper?" And I did, and there was a qualitative difference, I think, between that. And so that was the germ, I guess, of this book, which I guess the short answer would be, how did I come to write a memoir? It was happenstance, which is the way a lot of things happen.
You know, maybe a better question is, what is the difference in having, because do you consider yourself a fiction writer, or at least you're making attempts at writing fiction?
Well, that's the other part of the series. It's the Michigan Writers Series.
Right.
You know, I don't entirely consider myself from Michigan. As we said, I'm more specific, and I'm from Detroit. I'm not really sure I consider myself a writer. I'm a guy who wrote a book, and I think there's a difference. I mean, I know very few writers. You know, being from Detroit, you just don't know that many. I've made the acquaintance of some, but, you know, it's not like New York or L.A. or something where there are people in the arts all over and in writing specifically. But writers are compelled to write. They're driven. Mm-hmm. They do it every day. And I'm not sure that's me. I knew that I wanted to tell a story about Detroit. And I did. I'm not working on anything at present. I don't have.
Oh, really?
I don't have another book deal.
Interesting.
You know, it's. I don't know if I'll be a one book writer, but if I were to be, I think I would be content with that. It's one more book than I ever presumed I'd get published.
Well, let me ask the question a different way then. What do you think is the difference between having written memoir and having written or published in fiction?
Well, I mean, I haven't published in fiction. Right. I've tried my hand at writing it, and I'm not sure that my stabs at writing it were any different than the usual stuff that people, when they're undergraduates and they like books, take their turns at writing sort of embarrassing poetry or bad short stories or bad fiction. I think writers mature later, I think, than a lot of people in the arts. You know, you have a few examples of people, Rimbaud or what have you, who, you know, they come good at the age of 18. That's much less true, I think, of writers. It takes a long time to find your voice. You know, musicians can come good in their early 20s, even late teens. Very few instances of that with writers. I mean, you have to, I don't know who said it, but I once came across someone who said that you have to write about 250,000 bad words that, you know, you throw out before you really hit your stride. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that when I was maybe 20 or 21 and thinking, my God, I got to write a lot before I get to, and I hope that's not true. And in fact, it turned out to be precisely true. I mean, you have to, I think you begin very imitatively. You sort of steal, I don't mean in the sense of stealing lines, but you steal the rhythms, you steal the style of writers you admire. And I think that's certainly how I began, and I think that's how a lot of people began. So, you know, if you're reading Philip Roth, you imitate Philip Roth. If you're reading Martin Amis, you end up sounding like Martin Amis. And it takes a long time for those influences to cease to be simply parroting in a watered-down way a writer of real originality and finding your own voice.
Well, I think, I mean, that was going to be the next question as well. I mean, the book is made in Detroit, we should say. Is in many respects about a literary apprenticeship.
That's absolutely true.
And you say you're not a literary theorist, but this is a book about a kind of apprenticeship. And you, as the sources, James Baldwin, Ellison, Faulkner, Joyce, I guess others.
Flannery O'Connor.
And there is, as you said before, I think you can turn a phrase. I think there's a good deal of style in the book. What I've been trying to put together is where does the literary style come from?
Yeah, I mean, it's well, hopefully by this point, and I'm not sure it does, it comes from me. Whereas before, I wore my influences on my sleeve. I mention all the writers you just mentioned in the book, I hope I came up with something original, you know, whether I did or didn't, I'm not entirely sure. And I think in retrospect, maybe there's a bit too much literary talk in the book. Maybe it gets bogged down. But the reason all that's there is I always knew I wanted to write a book about Detroit. I've said that already. And that's all I knew. And if you write a book about the Detroit I grew up in, there are certain things you have to write about. Now, growing up in the corner of Detroit I grew up in, I had to write about Catholicism because it was a very Catholic area, and Detroit's traditionally been a very Catholic city. So that had to be in there. Issues of class had to be in there because of, you know, my background, and there had to be stuff about cars in there because my father, who I write about in many ways is maybe the main character in the book, was a car enthusiast, to put it mildly. And of course, there had to be stuff about race. Because you really can't write a book about Detroit without writing about any of those things, and that includes race. And so the reason I mentioned people like Baldwin and Faulkner and O'Connor and Ellison is because, though I am not a literary theorist and don't want to be, I am interested in how do you write about something like race. And that's why they're in there. I talk about Joyce and how you write about issues of Catholicism. A lot, as Joyce obviously was a maybe, and O'Connor as well, maybe, you know, the Catholic writer. O'Connor certainly the Catholic American writer.
O'Connor is such a strange example of Catholicism, too.
She really is, but because it's a very, I mean, it's a Southern Catholicism, and of course, I don't know the South at all other than through the writings of Faulkner and O'Connor.
What is the last words of, oh, I'm going to screw up this interview. The last words of the short story.
A good man is hard to find.
Right.
She would have been a good woman if there had been someone there to shoot her every minute of her life. Yeah.
How does a Catholic... I mean, when I used to teach literature, you read this to your students or you have your students...
Well, I mean, I think where that comes from is the seriousness. I mean, I think O'Connor, if you read not only her fiction, but her letters and some of her nonfiction writing, she wrote, not memoir, but she wrote a lot of first-person narrative in some of the collected works. O'Connor clearly thought about ideas in terms of salvation. You don't have to have, the Catholicism doesn't have to come through with a bunch of people praying the rosary or staring at a crucifix. I mean, there are more subtle ways. And I think, at least as a Catholic who's reading O'Connor, what I see and how she strikes me as very Catholic is that sense that salvation, in some cases, hangs on what decisions you make in certain moments. But anyways, the reason she's in there, Faulkner's in there, Ellison and Baldwin primarily, are, you know, how do you write about an issue as complicated and fraught as race? And, you know, every person who's writing, especially when you're beginning, you know, you don't want to repeat what's been done before. And it seemed to me a benefit, maybe it was a curse as well, but to be born when and where I was. You know, obviously it doesn't redound to my credit. It was simply happenstance, but I happened to be born in a very interesting city at a very interesting time. I was born the year Colm Young was elected. Colm Young was the first black mayor of the city of Detroit. So when you think about race in America, and this is still largely true, you tend to think of a white majority that's in power. Mm-hmm. And the city into which I was born was, I'm a white minority that was not in power. That's certainly not a complaint. I wouldn't change where and when I was born for anything. But it is a different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe whatever virtues the book possesses may stem from the sort of, it's a different perspective. It's a slightly fresher perspective, I think. And again, that's just a coincidence of my birth. But these were issues that I always thought about growing up because they were in the air in Detroit. I think a lot of people, you know, if you're born in the suburbs, the far suburbs of the country, everyone you know is white, and you sort of, you go to college or you move to a big city, and then you discover difference and the other, as they would say in English departments these days. And, you know, that was something that I realized, again, from probably the time I was 5 or 6 years old. It's stuff that's always been in my head.
It's hard not to have it in your head. I mean, that's part of what the message or what the book is probably about. That is, it's a very central issue.
It is an interesting. Yeah, and I mean, it's obviously the central issue of the country and America, and not just in terms of sort of a black white, but I mean, whether it's Asian
or absolutely.
I mean, that's the American story. People coming from all over the world. In Detroit, the dynamic, at least when I was growing up, was black and white. It was, you know, very stark, and there's really no way around it. I mean, whether you were with in a company with majority whites or you know, when I was on football teams or basketball teams, I mean, race was always there, and for better or worse, and sometimes obviously for the better. I mean, I think there was a comfort level growing up where there wasn't all of the, it didn't lead to awkwardness. I mean, it was so out in the open that it was almost a relief. It wasn't sort of the subtext that had to be unspoken. Right. You know, I'd show up at the basketball courts and, you know, there'd be the joshing, you know, hey, Scott Skiles, that sort of thing. And obviously that wasn't to make me feel uncomfortable. That was make me feel comfortable.
MSU reference, folks.
That's right. I had to get that in there. I could have said John Stockton, but I said Scott Skiles because I'm on Michigan State's campus.
No, that's great. And we're running out of time already. But anything else? The Wings win the cup this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been following hockey too much, but there's something about hockey in the book too, a little bit.
Yeah, there is. That's why I asked.
But no, I appreciate the invitation to come up and and it was good talking to you.
Great. Thanks. Thank you very much.